and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca and your host for the show. Today we continue our New Year's podcast series as we're joined in reviewing the year 2020 and previewing the year 2021 by Oliver Tuzik, Senior Vice President of the Global Partner Organization at Cisco. Along with managing one of the biggest partner communities in the game through the COVID-19 pandemic, 2020 also saw Cisco introduce some of the biggest changes to its partner programs in two decades, and we talk through all of that. From the new partner program to new roles for solution providers and other types of Cisco partners, through to how Cisco is bringing its focus on customer experience to its engagement with its partners, to how Cisco and its channel pivoted in the face of COVID-19, it's a wide-ranging conversation. And we also take a look at what to expect from Oliver and the Cisco channel team in 2021, and even get a little bit of a preview on what's to come in terms of next steps in the partner program rollout. It's a great discussion, so let's get right into it. My chat with Oliver Tuzik. Oliver, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate you joining us.
Pleasure.
It's getting a little late, perhaps, in the season to be doing this, but we still want to take the time and go back and look back a little at the year that was 2020, and perhaps even more importantly at this point in time, take a look ahead to hopefully brighter days throughout the balance of this year. But let's maybe start with a little bit of the rear view mirror, if you will. Obviously, significant shifts for you, for your partners. You guys made some significant changes to adapt for that. Can you maybe share kind of some of the what you saw as the highlights or the big events of 2020 and how Cisco and its partners reacted?
Yeah, it feels like it's already a long, long time ago, but it isn't. You're absolutely right. And if I would look for one highlight, it's kind of proud. I've been very proud how we, together with our partners, managed this crisis. And I remember some of the first days where we were kind of shocked how the world was changing overnight. Even we saw it coming from Asia. When it hit us here, right, in the US, I was impressed how fast we reacted, how we changed the way how we work. Of course, we continue to work very closely with our partners. But instead of thinking like a classical business, we understood there's a different way now to serve our customers and communities. And if I'm taking one thing out of this one, is the partner model that we are running is still the best model in the world because it makes you fast and agile in these fast-changing environments. So I'm feeling better, and it sounds kind of funny, after this year because I learned how strong we are together and how fast we can adapt and change.
And any other major lessons learned along the way for yourself or that you've taken from partners?
So major lesson learned is we don't need to change the strategy. That was a very interesting lesson because everybody was asking, oh, after the learnings from the pandemic, we need to change our strategy. But we were reviewing, we realized what we started more than 2 years ago. You might remember this perform and transform story where there was these areas where we need to transform our business. And all of these areas happened. And the only difference is it happened much faster than we thought. So it was like we only need to accelerate. Only need is a nice way of saying, because changes that we were assuming will come over years came within a quarter. But right now, the key learning out of this one is we need to continue our strategy. We just need to put it on steroids and get much faster.
I take your point that across this industry, so much got learned about how quickly individuals, organizations can evolve overnight, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I was impressed and surprised how fast big companies like Cisco's, but also a lot of our partners, big and small, were able to adapt. And this was all about agility because the priorities of our customers changed over the weekend. So what was the number one priority on Friday was completely canceled on Monday and was substituted by completely new priorities. And all our partners that remained very agile and adapted to these changes were able to continue to deliver a value and a changing value to all of our customers. And this is something which I called is the only way to be future ready in these times, because being ready for the future doesn't mean knowing exactly what is going to happen, just having the agility to adapt and deliver solutions that match current needs of our customers.
And we saw that again, didn't we? In that we went from that first phase of dramatically getting people up and running in a work from home mode to perhaps a sober second thought in the months afterwards and operationalizing some of those changes that were rapidly made to survive.
Yeah, we saw a couple of waves, and it's interesting because we saw this wave starting earlier, for example, in Asia, then we saw some of them in Europe, then in the US. So we could watch these waves. And as you said, it's a first of reaction wave. So you just respond to the urgent needs. We supply with technology to manage this kind of crisis. And then there's a kind of course, business is going down and people think how to go through this crisis. But then pretty soon it started this, okay, what is new? What will be needed in the new future? And the important thing is we need to stop now talking about when we'll be back to normal. So we are already back to normal. It's just a new normal. And I declared this year already, it's the after COVID year. And don't get me wrong, it's still a crisis. There's still the pandemic, but it's no longer new. And we need to accept and take the advantages of the new setup to continue to deliver value to our customers.
So along with reacting to the pandemic, interesting timing to introduce a pretty radical shift to the partner program. You shared the rollout of the new program at Partner Summit towards the end of 2020. What can you tell us about how that process is going and any developments you can share since the bones of the program were introduced?
Sure. So these changes to the program were planned since a long time. And this was one other thing that has been just accelerated. And why was it accelerated? Because there's a higher need for new ways to serve our customers. This is what we call the managed or as a service model, the provider model. So customers want to consume in a different way a full solution. This was always something we were doing, but it was growing dramatically through the crisis. Then there is this part that we call the developer community. You might have heard about DevNet. This is something that was picking up also. And last but not least, we see more and more advisors and consultants supporting our customers. So we looked at our entire partner landscape. And instead of looking at what we would like to do, we were thinking about the value they create to the customer. Because we want to pay our partners and support them in the way how they deliver value. And just to give you an update, we're going to announce a couple of the details at Cisco Live in March. So the first program, of course, will be the upgrade on the classical system integrator value reseller program. But we will also launch further details on the provider program, which is all our partners that deliver a managed service or as a service to our joint customers.
And of course, that's increasingly something that that more of the traditional integrator folks are making more of their business as well.
That's an important one. Let me just add on what you just said, because a lot of people say, oh, this is for new partners. No, it's also for a lot of existing partners because they are doing it right now. We're not coming up with something that is completely new in the market and also not new for us. You might remember we have a managed service partner program since about 10 years. So we're working on this. It's just got now massive and it's going to be accelerated.
Cisco's been talking about kind of the ecosystem approach to the partner base for a number of years now. And this certainly seems to put that all the more in the limelight. Can you maybe touch a bit on what this is going to mean for sort of the shape and nature of what it is?
So when we talk about ecosystems, we've been talking, as you just said, about this on since a long, long time. But what we see behind this has an ongoing change because an ecosystem is the idea of bringing together the different pieces to deliver a value, a solution to our customer. And in the past, it was mainly a system integrator and some vertical expertise. Now we're changing the logic how we look at our ecosystem because there will be partners that are software developer, that are different kind of integrators, that have a much more knowledge on a certain vertical market. There will be consultants and advisors, and we are building up a model not only to help them, but also to bring them together, because we believe in the future, we will see more solutions, more deals that are offered in a combination of more than one or two partners.
And how do you see Cisco's role in kind of crafting and nurturing those partner-to-partner connections? Because there's always that balance to be had between kind of playing matchmaker and micro control.
Yeah, that's a difficult point. So, as you know, I've been a partner a long time, most time of my life. And I love to see a vendor like Cisco helping me to get together, but I don't like a vendor managing my relation with other partners. So I believe our position is very clear. We need to create transparency. Think about a new way of marketplace where you can meet, but Cisco should not be the one who's managing the ongoing relation. So we bring them together to find the perfect combination, the perfect setup for a partner ecosystem. On the other side, what we need to do, we need to create an attractive environment for any kind of partner. In the past, we were mainly focusing on the partners that were selling Cisco hardware, software, and services that create bookings. Now we are building up a much more attractive setup for the partners that are developing on top of the Cisco platforms, for the partners that use their kind of knowledge, their experience to advise on Cisco solutions, and so on. So we will make Cisco much more attractive for partners that in the past didn't think they would be a great Cisco partner.
One of the other big developments of Partner Summit was bringing the was the launch of PXP and bringing that out. What can you share in terms of the next steps in making the Cisco relationship easier to manage for all kinds of partners, as you described?
Yeah. So everybody's talking about simplicity and ease of doing business. And we always think about our customers, of course. But we, as a partner organization, need to treat our partners like they are our customers. So we make it easy for them to work with Cisco. And one of these areas was bring all the different tools, the different data into one platform, which will make it much easier to get the right information and also to increase their productivity. PXP has been one of the most successful launches we've seen since a long time. And when you listen to partner quotes, it's simply amazing. They love it because we made a dramatic change to the way how they can work with us. But of course, we don't stop. As you might remember, we just launched the first wave. There's more that it's going to be integrated. And you will see that Cisco is focusing on this idea of having a single place where you get all the data on the installed base, on your programs, on the open deals, and how you're driving renewals and other things. So this will continue, and we continue to also train our partners. We see that the training is taken up dramatically. So we see a lot of demand for understanding how to utilize our tools and the way to drive better profitable growth.
Training still trending up. I know it was something that there was a lot of talk of partners kind of at the mid part of last year saying, all right, well, maybe things aren't as busy in the field as they could be, so let's make sure we're right on top of our game. And still, is that still the direction that you see training going?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it was no real surprise that people were going on online video training and all of this one during the pandemic. But I was expecting it would come down a bit, but the opposite is happening. I think once the companies experience how easy it is, how well structured and organized, we see an ongoing demand on this, what we call the black belt training. And it's more a full roadmap. It's not you take a single training here, a single training there. You can plan it. You can think about, I want to go into this collaboration space. So I need to have a technical training. I need to have a sales training. And you can assign your people on these training tracks. And we're adding ongoing information, just update a lot of the IoT training and others. And what we see right now, the demand is continually high. And I believe, as I said before, don't expect we're going back to the old normal. We're in this new normal, and this will be the standard for the future. And I see a big investment also coming from our side to continue driving this.
What do you see as some of the big untapped or underrated opportunities for Cisco partners right now?
Well, that's a kind of difficult question because the opportunities are there in general, but they are very different. So first of all, there's still a demand for infrastructure, for hardware. So companies are still investing. And there's different kind of investment areas. First of all, there's still this upgrading the home office and making it secure, building a collaboration environment that allows you to work with whomever in the world from your home. On the other side, we see the first waves of back to the office. How do you handle an office in the new world, in the new setup? So there's also high demand. This is a big opportunity. On the other side, We haven't talked about this right now, but it's the number one topic everybody is bringing up in an interview. What's about the hybrid cloud world? Everything is shifting into the cloud. Yes, it is, has been also accelerated due to the pandemic, but the opportunity for our partners remains the same. Nobody is just running their entire gear in one cloud offering. It's normally at least three, if not more. It's a mixture of a private and a public cloud. And it is very challenging to manage this complex setup. So wherever you can help to orchestrate and control and secure the hybrid cloud world, that's a huge opportunity for all of our partners. And we are working with all the big web scalers. We have end-to-end solution to manage the workload, to make a cloud even secure in these times.
In terms of direction, in terms of programmatics, in terms of all the sorts of things, what can partners expect from Cisco over the course of?
So first and most important, they can expect that we continue to be a partner-focused company. Looking at Canada, one of our very successful countries, especially in the last quarter, they are having a partner share of more than 95%. And this is what makes us successful. And this is what we continue to do. We're going to be predictable, reliable, and we're going to think long-term like we do for the more than last 20 years. On the other side, it's pretty clear we will not stand still. We continue to develop. And what I was talking about 2 years ago, that there will be a time where you won't get a lot of money on just being able to ship a product, or where you will not be able to create the value to your customer by just being able to source something. And most of the partners know this. But we will continue to up-level the capabilities of our partners together with them. And we will ensure that they can create solutions and offerings that are relevant. And relevance is the one thing that is important, of course, for the customer, so that you have something that is unique. But at the end, the most important thing behind this, it creates profitable business. Because when you differentiate, if you have something unique that creates a value, you will also see profitable growth. And this is our number one focus, how we drive this shift. And don't get me wrong, there is not the perfect partner for the future. There will be partners that are more vertical focused. There will be partners that go fully into managed service. There will be partners that prefer an agency model and sell SaaS solutions. And we will support them all. The big change in our programs is that it became much more flexible. And on the other side is looking at the way how partners doing their business, how they deliver their value to the end customer. Instead of Cisco out, it is partner out, focusing on the end customer. And this is what we will see much faster than we maybe called it out 2 years ago. But it's exactly what we were saying, and it's going to happen right now.
We've talked a lot about a number of forces ranging from, you know, the business model changes we're seeing to technology changes, you know, and I would categorize those as sort of the known unknowns kind of categories. And there's, as the last year has shown us, there's always those unknown unknowns that pop up from time to time. Given all these things and all that your partners have to manage, given all versus, you know, what do you see as the mood in the channel? How are your partners feeling about their business and their prospects for this year?
So, Rob, you might be surprised, but most of our partners are very positive right now. When I'm talking with partners, I hear mainly a positive note. Of course, there's still something unpredictable. Will we have a third or fourth wave? What is happening with the mutations and all of them? So there's uncertainty. But at the end, keep in mind, these changes are positive for the IT industry because we are part of the solution. As more is going to be digital, as more is going to be virtual, there's more need for technology and for companies like our partners. So they're looking forward very positive. They see one of the highest utilizations and grow in services because there's a lot of companies that need to shift right now. And if there was anybody left who didn't invest in the digital transformation, after they sent all their people back to the home office and couldn't get into their branches for a long time, they understand if I don't have a digital strategy, I will not survive the next thing that is coming. So there is a positive momentum because they are seeing the value they can create. Of course, there's still uncertainty, but we need to get to the point to accept that there might be things happening that we could not plan. So it's rather about how do I build up not only a more agile and flexible offering, but how do I build up a more agile business model, a more flexible company to react faster? And I can tell you, we have shown that we can react fast. If you are concerned about agility, look at what we, our partners together with us, did in the first months of the pandemic. We changed so fast. We made such a radical change within days. So they are looking forward in a very positive way because they see they could do it and they see that they are part of the solution.
In light of all that we've talked about and anything that we haven't talked about, any advice for partners to shape 2021, areas you think they should be looking at, things to think about, those kinds of things?
So when I look at the partner landscape, especially let's look at Canada, where we have a very strong partner landscape. I think most of them doing the right thing already. They are reviewing their offering. They are looking at how do I deliver my service. A lot of partners moving over to create their own managed service, or as we call it this time, as a service. And they ask themselves the one and most important question: what is the value I can create that differentiate me from other partners and is a real value that the customer is willing to pay for? And this should be the fundamental start. What is your edge? What makes you special? And by the way, this is something where I cannot give the final answer. This is what the companies need to find out. And by the way, they're doing amazingly well to find out where's my focus? What makes me special and unique? Because this is a starting point of a long-lasting business model. And when I'm looking at the partner landscape in Canada, there's different ways. There's companies that really, as I said, go on the managed service way. Others become more developers and help to integrate solutions. There's others that become more an advisor and consultant. And none of them is the best or the only solution, but there's the best solution that each of these partners need to find, and we are going to help them. So I'm very positive because it's not like sometimes people talk about, oh, these are old box movers. Our partners are no box movers since a long time. Don't get me wrong. I still like partners that are selling hardware. We love it. Hey, keep doing it. But most of all, not all of our partners realize if I only do this one, I might have another good quarter or maybe even a good year. But on the long term, this will be a dangerous spot to be. And so they are moving ahead. And they are much faster and much flexible than a lot of people think.
I appreciate your taking the time to chat, and lovely to have the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let me ask. Of course, it was your interview, but let me ask a question. Do you see it heading in a different direction? And you especially know the market and in Canada. And Canada is a very interesting place for us because it combines the US trends with the European trends. So it's a kind of special melting pot where things come together. So I would be interested in your view. Did I miss anything, or do you see any other trends?
I think we covered a lot of the territory, really. It's been so defined by acceleration, perhaps, and I don't know the US market obviously nearly as well, but I would say that the acceleration maybe has been even more dramatic here in Canada because cloud was a little bit behind, and that certainly had gasoline thrown on it.
Yes, I fully agree to your view. So the Canadian market was maybe slightly behind the US, but still has been ahead of some of the European countries. And what we see right now is what we saw all over the world. These countries are catching up very fast because there's no longer an option. All the roadblocks that we saw on some of the cloud-delivered models or managed service models, they have been removed over the weekend by the pandemic because people realized there's no other option left. So I think it was a positive momentum, whatever you can call positive on a pandemic, and don't get me wrong on this one, but it was a positive accelerator for a lot of countries, especially also for Canada.
And you talk about things that a lot of partners are focused on. You talk about managed services and kind of being that business consultant side of things. You talk about security as a fundamental basis for everything. You talk about a shift in how organizations look at collaboration. These are all areas that a lot of solution providers have been pushing on, and now they're even getting pulled by customers. So that's,
I think we'll have a good year in front of us. Even it's young and we don't know what is going to happen. And if not something even worse is happening on the pandemic side, I think we will get back to good growth. And by the way, when you look at the partners, most of the partners reporting great numbers.
Like a good year.
Especially keeping in mind where we are right now and from where we are coming. And the good thing is the comparison starts to become easier because now we're comparing to the bad quarters of last year. So things can only get better.
So there you have it. Words of wisdom from Oliver Tuzik, Cisco's Global Channel Chief. I'd like to thank Oliver for taking the time to chat with us and for his understanding. Hopefully it wasn't too evident to you listening to it, but I was having a bit of a bad internet day when I chatted with Oliver, and I'm sure I tried his patience a great deal trying to get things to work on my side. Hopefully that doesn't get in the way of a very enjoyable interview for you with a lot of great information. I'd also like to thank Cisco Canada for their continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening today. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back next week, but until then, we'd invite you to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, and consider leaving us a rating and a quick review. Until next time, I'm Robert Tutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Keep safe, and I'll see you around the channel.